just say they don't mean anything and go to the beach, depending on what you want to do. So here we go. Right. Yeah, Matthew Hurtado, Love Again.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
I love that song.
Well, what amazed me about Matthew is I think he comes out of, grew up in the period of the 80s. Just a minute. Are you there, Ginny? Did we get disconnected?
No, I'm here, Bob. I'm here.
Okay. So we're just commenting on the song. I consider Matthew the handicap generation. They grew up with the heavy metal of the 80s. That was their formative music. And whatever music that you're a teenage, young teenager, or even pubescent in, that's what gets into your memes and genes. And you'll like that forever. And other generations won't even understand why you like it. But the generation that experienced that phase in the 80s is the most unfortunate generation, because it was the most horrible music in the 80s. The heavy metal had a quaalude thickness to it and dullness that was only countered by the brightness of Zappa's music. So here I consider Matthew, when I hear what he plays on his own show, it's ridiculous, dead music, dead heavy metal stuff, but I understand that's what his kid brain and emotions were programmed with. But he takes that stuff, and it was at the beginning of this song, but it's quickly disappeared into a nice melodic thing, and I like the way he does his hip-hop or rap stuff. So I consider him a handicapped artist, a special ed kind of artist, and he actually is the best of that. So just as Carol's the tallest midget in the world, Matthew is the smartest handicapped composer in the world.
In other words, Bob likes it.
Sort of. Musically challenged. Whatever incorrect way you say it.
If he likes the shortest midget, he likes the most handicapped.
You can't even get it right. You're the tallest midget.
Oh, yeah.
And Matthew is the smartest musically handicapped special ed challenge doofus, and actually comes up with pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very nice. I was very glad to have the world premiere, apparently, here on the Wednesday show of Love Again, which is Matthew Hurtado's new song. And I think he has posted it on Facebook in different places. I'm sure he'll be sharing the clip somewhere. Maybe you can find it on Dupes. But, yes, that is our own Matthew Hurtado. So I'm glad you loved the song, Bob. That's very exciting.
Well, during the song, when it had the heavy metal dumb stuff at the beginning, my attention wandered over to the chat room list, and there's incredible postings about what's going on right now, and I was reading this as I was not impressed with the early part of Matthew's song. Here's what I was reading. From Michael, I don't know if this is Michael Brown or who Michael is, Bob, you are the greatest DJ, actor, artist, interviewer, conversationalist, human, listener, inventor, comedian, ceremonious, husband, analyst, dancer, scientist, parallel worlder, and detective the world has ever and will ever know. Thank Bob for Bob. This is what I have to put up with while trying to appreciate Matthew.
they left out surgeon.
Good point there. Very good. Not bad, Greggy.
Greg, stop. You're being too impressive. Stop it.
Yeah.
Probist. You're a probist.
Yes, well, many things. But, you know, we can't praise Greg too much because what's that phrase? The most henpecked, or what is it, you know, dick pressed down, you know. Anyways, Ginny's a ball crusher in that relationship.
What?
Greg has to play secondary to Ginny.
Pussy whipped or something.
Yeah, pussy whipped. Greg is the most pussy whipped guy. At least he pretends he's like that when Ginny's around.
No, it's a vagina sugared.
No, they're not sugared for Greg. Greg was banned years ago from those things because I'm what Ginny wants. And Ginny can't perform until she has me. And so Greg is in limbo.
Oh, my God. Perfect. Okay, so let's do this. Let's listen to some of the things that Ion brought forth in these last couple days.
Yeah,
Bob,
let's hear the insult that Ion laid out against Bob. So we know Ginny, who tried to pussy whip. Ginny may seduce me one day, but then I'll be pussy whipped too, as she will attempt. And we're going to see that temperament, that personality, right now in what she selects from this week's performances by Ion, correct?
Well, I don't know about that, Bob. I cannot analyze myself that way. I don't have that kind of, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're too busy. You're too busy in charge of everything. What do I call your voice? I said something about you got the most amazing something, instant babbler, babble voice, which sounds relatively left hemisphere and logical. And you're too busy doing that.
Yes. But now I want to also say that there are people on the call, lots of people on the call listening. You're welcome, everybody.
All participants are now muted. All participants are now unmuted.
Allison is here and may have things to say, so on and so forth. So feel free to chime
in. Allison is a great substitute for the mouth talents of Ginny. You two go together. But, you know, I just heard it for the first time. You clicked on something. I heard the beep. I've never been in the passive position of hearing what the sounds like when you were clicking on letting someone in, right? Opening their phone thing. Never heard that before.
Yeah, so that's how people know that they're actually getting in when they hear that little whoop.
It's an inner caress. It's acoustic inner caress.
Yes, there you go. It's the thumbs up or thumbs down depending. That's correct.
That's right.
So, but of course, I will mute everybody again if I start to pick up background noises. So, like I did.
And you know, Ginny, this show this does not have to end at the 2 hour mark.
Right.
You know,
right.
People can call in. I'm sure they're going to be commenting on it because this is actually my show that we've allowed you in. Yeah.
Yes, it is your show that I am coming in and being encapsulated in, and then it'll go into the archives on the Wednesday show too for people who may not have heard it. So. Yep.
To the two-hour part, or maybe three-hour, depending, right? Whatever it's going
to
be.
To the two-hour part. Yes, whatever it's going to be. That's right. Okay.
All right, let's listen.
So, Bob, you like the part that Ion brought up about the change in the chemical bonds. This is about chemical bonding, so
yes.
Electrons and so on. This is a question Bart asked. So let's listen and see if we can develop fun new patterns off of this. All right, here we go.
Your explanation to me of the planes that I was seeing stopping in the sky, Ion, was that I was engaging a timeless experience.
Yeah.
But at the same time that I was creating that timeless experience for those craft.
You were? Yes.
Is that an experience that was isolated to an area around those craft, the craft themselves?
The craft themselves. You're counting molecular space as a timed event. It is not.
And there's no connection, but I can have an influence over the things that I experience.
If there is no time, there is no gravity.
And there's no distance.
That's correct, because you'd have to have something to gauge it by to even know. Because you'd never know otherwise.
My interest would be in coming into a knowing of, and obviously the inclination there means that it already exists, of experiencing and engaging that with more deliberateness and more awareness, that experience.
So you're able to forget it easier.
Forget it easier?
Apparently, because we've done this 18 times already.
Do tell. Would you please share what you mean?
Well, we've done this 17 times, and this is the 18th time we've done this exact same interaction. Over and over and over and over and over. It's okay.
Okay.
Let's do it again.
All right.
And you ask, and we're going to do it again. Here we go. The quantitative molecular structure of two positively charged ions are only predicated based on a nucleus or their representative space within a nucleus. Any neutrons have no effect until there is a nucleus. Okay? So until you have a nucleus, none of that other stuff makes any difference. You can weigh it, gauge it, move it, do everything a rabbit can do to a stump. It won't make any difference until there's a beginning point. So we're going to start again at the beginning point and have two positively charged ions in that field or spectrum within a nucleus. Then all the neutrons that will float around that, protons that are created from that, will have a place to land. Because what's happening is you're in that flux. You know what flux is on your welding? Flux welding? Yes?
I'm not aware what flux welding is.
Then look it up. Look up what flux is in regards to welding.
Okay.
Where's the electron in that relationship?
It's the leftover part that's not used in making a weld. The changing of a metal into something to seal something together. The flux is the leftover part. It's the inhibitor that holds it hot enough to melt the metals together, and that's the part that chips off and protects it. But he can learn about that.
Is that fuse welding?
It can be.
So, yeah, that's why the electrons, they're floating in the outer rim. They're kind of extra. They miss the action in the middle.
That's right. That's right, and the flux is the part that's left over. And so we're going through this again. It's okay, because we're going to do it till you get it. There is no time. Thank goodness you're okay. And we'll keep stepping with it.
Ian, are you creating right now, therefore not being non-physical?
That's it. Are you still beating your wife's story?
No, it ain't.
Yes, if we say
no, it
yes,
ain't. Don't, you can't use that. Yes, that's a 99% answer. This is a, I want a 1%er
well,
answer.
It becomes creation. And there we are. We are complete.
All participants are now unmuted.
Okay, Bob. I wasn't on mute when I screamed out. Yeah, Bob scared Ion away at the end.
Yeah, it was. I started interrupting, and he didn't. He didn't respond to me, did he? He kept talking to
Bart,
and he did not. He did not respond to my whatever I was demanding, and then he took off.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I got a new idea listening to that. Two ions that are the beginning point, positively charged ions, and the nucleus and the neutron don't get into their positions until the two ions are happening?
Yeah,
that's what it
that's
is.
What it's said, yeah.
It occurred to me, since Ion has told us that there are ions or simulations or duplicates or complete things of Ion performing in other worlds right now along here, and there are Bob and Carolyn's over there with the Ion, these two ions may be a theme that's come up the last couple of weeks privately between Ian and us, and I brought up today, and I am backed off on talking about it. He doesn't want to go into it too much. But we have this communication going on between worlds, and that the, what is it called, internal, the I cell is from an ascended environment, an ascended substance, and so powerful coming in this little fallen world. And the two ions, it could be a balance situation that's shown in Fringe, but I'm looking at the two ions as the first time Ion has brought in the communication going on between the ions. What do you think of that?
Right, so instead of two worlds that we look at as separate,
yeah,
or two ions that are separate, those two ions are together in a cell. Two positive ions. You don't get that. You get a positive and a negative. So we've recreated the extra world within our own cells.
Good point. And it also is communication between bigger worlds. You know, you got this microscopic cellular, but you also got the cosmic, macrocosmic, and that because they mirror each other. So there's two ions and two worlds, like two hovering pterodactyls, as I used to say about this world, the two of them. And I didn't know that you couldn't have two positively charged, and that's important you find that, Carolyn, because it's two. We had amazing new kind of chemistry being described there, interworld chemistry.
Yeah.
Right. And after I heard Ion say that, I typed it out, and I went to, because I learned to do this on the rewrite, that I would type things out and then I would take whole sentences and I would put it in the Google search, and sometimes I could find academic papers that were being written in different parts of the world or universities trying to study or discover what Ion's already creating.
Yeah.
And so I did this where I took two positively charged ions in a field or spectrum within a nucleus that all the neutrons will float around and protons will be created from. And I Googled that, and there's nothing anywhere that says that two positively charged ions can be within a nucleus.
Right. So there's the creativity of Ion. It says a thought. It says this new thing that's never been said before, and then that helps create its realities.
Right.
And it's an example, the power of thought, even though we discussed today that thought is not as important as the word. And I charged on, I said, when we first started talking to you in spring of 2009, the first aphorism you were saying was that thought creates reality. He dumped that 6 months later, but I tried to get him to comment on that, and he said, well, that's because, Bob, your reality was skewered. Or that I was not in reality. So for someone who was not in reality in the early months, for me, thought was the basis of reality.
But then, Bob, what do you, Bob and Carolyn or Greg or whatever, the whole thing about once Ion says something at the very end, because you said, well, now are you creating, Ion? And
right.
They demurred, and then they said, is being created. So if they're putting the thoughts out there, they're making the statements, and then we're embracing them, and then we're saying the words, which is kind of the exchange we were doing on the rewrite. Does that defer the creative power, or how do you feel that's going?
I'm not sure what you're saying. What is the point? Again, quick, just a brief version of how is what going?
If I repeat the words that Ion said.
Wait. Yes. Well, I'm asking Ion to explain more about what's it mean to be non-physical that can create. And I was going to bring up, but forgot it at the time a few hours ago. He said once, Bob, you woke us up. And so the waking up, so he becomes a creative potential. I want him to describe that fact more. Now that's what I was getting at, but he balked at that when I confronted him on it, and then he just said creation.
Yes.
Or you think he said it being created or something. So is that what you're addressing?
Yes.
Yeah, and then we are waiting for more information from Ion.
But also, Ginny, you seem to be saying that Ion will sneak in these words and then we repeat them.
Yes.
Which means we are now creating it. If he's not enough to create it, then he's going to make us say the words.
Yeah, he creates a world of mortar, a community that uses his creation. That's
right,
the
because
mortar.
They're saying we're non-physical, we have our power, we're getting you into your power. So we're saying, well, Ion, what about this position or angle or ratio or degree? And Ion saying, well, in this position in the beginning, you have two positive ions in a, nucleus. And then we're saying, well, what is that? We're talking about it, and we're creating it, and then it is, and then it becomes.
Yes, it's the only school where thoughts and patterns, original patterns, are dumped on us, and we play with them to our capacities. And then a new original pattern comes up 6 months later, and then another one 6 months later. There's no wisdom school. Most wisdom schools are trying to get somebody to get a principle or two, an experience or two. Ion has been an ongoing operation of change and perception and making us realizing that thought is, and the spoken word are, the realities and the laboratory you should be living in. You don't need to make a plane, but if you have an idea about a new kind of plane and talk about it and think about it with people, that's good enough for that reality. You don't even bother applying it, as McLuhan would say. And then you're on to another reality. So we're living at the speed of thought with Ion.
Right, absolutely, absolutely, which is what Ion said would happen. As a matter of fact, I think I even have that little clippy clip they said to Bart. Where is that? Let me see if I can find it really quick. Yeah, hold on just a sec. I'll play it real quick, what they said to Bart.
And it goes faster than thought. It seems a bit overwhelming to you. Yeah. Faster than the speed of thought. That's new, too. But see, we have no limitations, and we're going to get you to that place where you unrefutably will know that what we're saying is.
That's good. It's faster than the speed of thought. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's
very
neutrino.
Good.
That's neutrino.
Right, the neutrino. Right. Very good.
And two ions coming together. I think, Carolyn, you said something about this just a minute ago, that one might be the non-physical ion in us, and then the non-physical outside, which is the ion we experience. And when those two come together in a nucleus, which would be us, then we've got it all jacked up.
Yeah, there's the non-physical ion, and then there's the physical ion.
Right, and we have that in us that Ion's been trying to activate. That's right.
Right.
I was more saying two ions, like one of this world, one of us of this world and one of us of another world.
Yeah.
So we actually bring the worlds within us, because it's been frustrating for some of us to remember our other world. So why the hell not just have them both within us so we don't have to do this dancing around?
Yes, arguing for our limitations. We even allow that in our school.
Yes, that's what Ion did say. What if they were already both in you already?
Yeah.
Very good.
They are.
Yep.
So they are.
Yeah.
When did they say that, Ginny?
In this same session, just today, but not at this clip. But I might have it in another one.
Wow.
Yeah, but they said it today.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, so let's go on to the, I want to go over this, listen to the thing about cancer, Carolyn, and see if there's any new stuff that comes out of that. So we'll listen to this one. Here we go. Okay, I'll start.
Go for it.
Okay. Ion, I want to talk about Leviticus 24:1-4 about the lights and the oil lights and the lampstands.
Okay, go ahead.
And you said, Carolyn said, are the oil in the lampstands the lipids? And I thought you said amino acids, and I was wanting some clarification on that. What were you referring to?
Both. The oil, the greasiness, that fluidity within the lipid system of the body is how fats are transferred. Within those fats are indeed amino acids. That's how your body assimilates them and how it processes them. So it would be lysine would be held in the fat that is the oil in your meat sack.
Okay.
That's as dumbed down as you can get. There's much more to that. But what you're developing is the perfect lysine.
And what would be the performance of a perfect lysine? I mean, we had, and I know you know
this. It would interact with perfect cells differently.
Right. Like our people who have the herpes virus that have called in and reported that they don't have the herpes anymore, Carolyn and I have correlated that to lysine. How would like this new lysine, what else would it do? I mean, can you say like something cool?
Well, it would perfect the cancer cell.
Y'all are trying
to get rid of cancer and we're trying to promote it. It's amazing to us that you have cells that you can't kill. You can only put them in remission. Sounds to us like it's a representation of the perfect cell.
Remission because it's latent or it's...
Remission because you can't kill it. You can't even cut it out. You can't squeeze it out. You can't mash it out. You can't gush it out. Can't do anything.
So
if you had a body full of those perfect cells that were acting perfectly, that would be incredible.
And the lysine is going to support that action.
That perfect amino acid will be key in the system that allows perfect cells to manifest.
Oh.
See how witty we said that?
Yes, I did.
What I'm hearing is the process in which cancer cells are reproduced just absolutely incredibly fast, perfectly reproduced cancer cells, take out the cancer cell and put in other cells using that same process, and then we have a winner.
If your whole life living on this planet for eternity, if it's called cancer, okay, be cancer. Not a problem.
You're saying we're calling it cancer, but you're not calling it cancer. And what you're saying is...
Yeah, y'all are trying to kill it. Y'all are trying to eradicate cancer, and we aren't. We're trying to get you in a position where you could live with cancer. If you could live in a cancer state, you could live forever because so far you can't kill cancer.
Okay.
But if you're perfect and you have perfect cancer cells that live forever, it's not a problem, is it?
No.
Okay.
But until you get negative pH and until you get an amino acid that can stand a negative pH position, but that's what Kodachrome is for. You'll capture all that. Then you can actually start verifying your knowing.
Uh-huh. Carolyn?
Help!
Yes, there was a rabbit. There was a hole. There was a rabbit in the hole, and then we got there, and we can't get back. We understand.
Yeah, Greg got it. The process of producing cancer cells is the same process that we're falling into. And
we got rid of Kodachrome. We got rid of Kodachrome. Okay, it's gone. You can't buy it anymore. We got rid of it. So we suggest you find something else, or we'll get rid of it too.
Mhm. Yeah, we get the digital going, so the digital will
in the chip body. Imagine that.
Yeah. Right.
Just
like the people going through the portals. Yeah, guys, this is you know, kind of message for the factory people. So there's a little embed in here, but it's all good. I mean, this is some information about the cancer cells that when Ion first told me about that, I was just, what do you mean we want to have cancer? But like I said, you know, the way Greg said it,
What kind of life would you live if you had a benign or malignancy position that lasted forever? How wonderful. And that's why they talk about that few people die of cancer, but very few live through what they call the cure. You irradiate it, we like that. You chemotherapy, poison mustard, we like that. So basically, if you're strong enough to overcome the cure, you can live with cancer.
So a malignant 144,000 double helix strands of DNA, you're saying that's good, Ion. Let me get it straight.
Yes, it's very good, and you wouldn't notice that there's a malady.
Of course.
Go ahead. Sorry, Carolyn.
You
would not notice. You feel
okay,
perfect. If you don't notice, you ain't looking.
Right.
Cancer is just Ion's way of saying drink sewage. You know, it's like shake up your mind. Cancer doesn't exist. Cancer is, and I've been saying about total biology, cancer is a way of your body trying to help you out. And then it gets misdiagnosed. So, you know, cancer is not what it is. Nothing is as it appears. Okay,
divine cancer then.
Why would we? It doesn't exist. It's a perfect cell that can't be killed. It keeps on going and it won't stop because you've been promoting it with the labyrinth of your mind. And if you can promote something that you think is going out of control with your mind, then your mind and the RNA drops and your 144,000 will produce perfect cells that look like cancer because they won't stop. And so what's the point of going back and defining something that we've now got under control?
Right.
Then we can take a little radium. We can shoot it with a little radium and make it better. We just love it.
Okay, are people there?
We're here.
Okay, yep. Carolyn, do you have anything? You got some new insights about this?
I think we defined it pretty good. I think it sounds pretty straightforward, but maybe people on the call can ask if they have questions.
Well, it's interesting. The people on the chat room, they're making a very interesting statement, but some of them are responding to what we're playing, but this is the kind of dialogue that one of the longtime students of me, Linus Minimax, or Absurdum, he's saying statements like, the hockey hemisphere of Canada, oop, it bounced. Every time something comes in, it bounces. The hockey hemisphere of Canada's TV body shifted seismically with Bob's been marathoning. But Ion reacted as if it was an insultingly stupid question. And then Linus says, Bob, you deserve a 1% answer. Then he says, the Canadian Holograms' experience of hockey as a national tradition, obviously important. And his Don Cherry lunatic, and then it bounces because people keep posting, and this Don Cherry lunatic was chosen to deliver the kickoff ribbon cutting to notorious Ford's in administration the two hosts of HNIC, Hockey Night in Canada, have a dynamic reminiscent of classic Bob and Mike on CKLN, or Bob without Dave, or Bob with Dave, a certain charming exasperation from the straight man, and he goes on and on. This is what one of the sub-geniuses, or we call them sub-deenies, is doing over there while we're playing this cancer stuff. And it's just as equal. He's dealing with the sociology and TV iconography, which is another lab equal to the laboratory that Ion is spinning about biology.
But are they responding to you asking Ion what is hockey? Remember?
Yes, yes, yeah. It was hockey. And Ion said it was a stupid question. Well, the line is, it's outrage.
Right.
Bob delivered. It required a 1%er answer,
yeah.
And it was this. And so, anyway, this is the quality of writing that's going on. While we're, this is collective quadrophenia, Ginny.
So, yes, it's Ginny.
Oh, go ahead. Who's that?
That's Allison, I think. No, it's Lynn. I was actually writing down some stuff when Ion was that recording, because I went out running and I just got back. And what hit me with Ion just now is when he said that lysine amino acid will be in the cell with the body that allows. That word allows, the perfect cells is the key. That relaxing and allowing. And I guess...
Hey, Lynn, hold it.
Yeah.
That, you've given me the opening of what I wanted to say. I made a discovery over the past week. Ion says that we are basically light and salt. Well, I asked Carolyn, can we add proteins and sugars, and did I say lysine? I said lipids, fats. So I wanted to map five levels onto my chart, tiny note chart, and Carolyn kind of agreed with it. We're light and salt, proteins and sugars, and is it for fats, is it lysines or lipids when you say fats, Carolyn?
It's lipids. Lysine is your amino acid.
So would that be the lysine be the tactile interplay between those five aspects?
Well, Ion is saying that you attach the lysine to a lipid, and that certainly can occur. So there's something about the perfecting cells that's taking this newly formed lysine.
Yes, and I would bring in a Finnegan's Wake pun, and this is what Joyce would do. The act of lying is human creativity or imagination.
So lying
is the interface of conductivity on the fifth level of the four parts, of the four winds of the universe.
And what is a lie is just a truth that hasn't
happened. Happened yet.
Yeah.
And lysine is always racing ahead at the speed of faster than thought, so that the lying reality always is kept to be established, because as we move faster and keep proving the lies and making them truth, lysine has to move faster.
Yeah.
Now this is the kind of crazy stuff we say right here, right now, for the sake of saying it.
Yeah, like on our new website, Sasha was on last night talking about how she wants to let the product speak for themselves. Well, they're going to have to, because our lawyers saying about every word we have on our website, the FDA won't allow, because we're trying to say what's happening. It's all.
So the lawyers came in. Matthew said, "Let's see what they say." And they say everything we say is illegitimate, so we can't say anything.
Right.
Was it? Can you get away with saying nothing?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, that's work for everybody. But we will continue to talk it, because this kind of knowledge about chromosome 14 that was given to Carolyn as the product came here in 2 or 3 years ago, they were concepts that just are part of the scientific world that Carolyn was being updated with by Ion, so Carolyn can sound intelligent and seem to know what she's talking about when the scientists come and are hyper curiosity about what she's doing. And Ion says we don't even need these concepts. So we can play with them, even though we sound acceptable. Carolyn can make it sound acceptable, but we can go beyond what Carolyn has to do for the scientists and make fun with the concepts, because it's not going to be used anyways.
Right.
We don't require them, but it's fun to play with the images that we were programmed with in the 20th century.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ginny, weren't we going to have Sasha speak? What happened there? She called in.
No, she's on, but Ginny invited her, but she didn't come on. She's probably busy and just sort of listening on the side.
She didn't
scheduled.
Answer. She didn't answer. Okay, I just scurried it. So what do you think of what we just...
She did send me an email and said she couldn't. She could only listen at work.
Right, because I sent her an email a few hours ago. when Ion was on, I said, hey, Ion is on right now. And I don't know if you got the chance to hear it, hear Ion when Ion was here. But it's fun saying these concepts. And here's Linus Minimax sweating over the Canadian Hockey Night in Canada. Humans are perverse. They find an issue and they just get like a dog and eat the bone. And we're eating the bone of biology right now, or genetics, right?
Right.
So back to you, Lynn. That's my response to your first one-third of a sentence, but carry on.
Yeah, and it's interesting that lysine is perfecting the cancer cells as well. And I'm thinking, okay, well, the spoken word, as Ion says, is the most powerful. And I found myself speaking as I was running today more to the angels out loud, which I have been. But if the thoughts don't manifest, then speaking that out in the verbal will even be greater. And I guess that's why cancers. Where am I trying to go with this?
Yeah, what are you trying to say? I'm glad you noticed that you weren't getting there.
I know it. I guess. So is it with the RNA products? It really is allowing the relaxation of the mind to really have the body innately do what it's supposed to do—the wisdom that's already there—and that's what Ion is stating, right?
Yeah, we don't require the explanation that we're waxing eloquent about with our explanations. We don't require them.
And the relax and allow allows you to stop creating yesterday today. So as
right.
James Martinez would wake up every morning with arthritis, he wakes up one morning and can't even remember the last time he had arthritis. So you can forget it and not get the mind to continually reproduce yesterday today, and therefore you can
right.
change.
And then the cancer cells won't be reproduced over and over, like these masses of tons of cancer cells, and then those will start to...
They'll become balanced in the ecology of the body. They're there, but they won't be in the majority.
Yeah, so Carolyn, they really are helping us out.
Right, and so it would be correct to say that James, when he forgot that he had arthritis, he had caught up to his now. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He caught up to his now.
Yeah, imagination is more powerful than will.
Than will. Well, I wouldn't make a statement like that. It's always an interplay of at least both and of two things making four things. Juggling the fourness, merging into the fifth, is the perceptual process one should be adept at.
Okay.
He submits. You give in. Okay. Okay, sir. Right away. Yes, but you should be able to say statements like I made back at me. Not in a silly mode, a satirical mode, but actually say and make sense out of what's happening right then, working with the concepts that are presented to you.
All right.
See, that may be why you didn't know where you were going, because you're trying to match with some fact in the past. Like you got to stop remembering that you're running every day.
While I'm running, you mean?
Yes.
No.
You have to stop remembering why you're running or that you're running.
Like he said today, and I wrote it down on a post-it note, no intention and everything flows to you.
Right, and so you wouldn't make it a dialectic of imagination versus will. That sounds like Eckhart Tolle stuff of getting rid of one's ego, which you would never get rid of one's ego. That's the biggest mistake of Buddhism and any other discipline that promotes that.
Now, one thing you could do, Lynn, if you were sitting at your computer like I am, you could Google Marshall McLuhan quotes, and then you could go down the list of quotes and see if you can find something applicable like this one. When new technologies impose themselves on societies long habituated to older technologies, anxieties of all kinds result. Mind has all these anxieties as a result of this new technological environment we're embodying with Ion. And this is what we're trying to do, is soothe the mind, and allow these anxieties to fall away so that we can actually perfect what it is that we've decided we're going to embrace, because we've all decided we're going to embrace the Ion.
Well, we are embraced, Ginny, with whether we like
embraced.
It or not. We are embraced, and you can bounce it off. And there's the four, Carol may know, there's four phases that McLuhan had in understanding media. Alarm, the thing is the body goes through alarm, resistance, shock, and numbness. Something like that. Those are the four phases. Alarm, numbness, shock, resistance. You know, whatever order they're in.
And then adaptation.
And then adaptation, which is parallel to numbness. So that should throw a whole new light on what you were attempting to say, Lynn.
It is. It is. And, you know, it's very, very synchronistic, but I was a student of Carolyn Mace's out of Chicago. She has the CMED Institute, and she do you guys know who she is, Carolyn Mace?
We know all about Carol Mace, yes.
Okay, good. Well, for a student, I remember really having a connection with her because I was kind of a loner in the group, and I didn't really kind of fit into the archetypal. I just, you know, it was all right, but it wasn't. It was kind of looking for, like Ginny, when you were on your path, trying to find the answers. And that being said, I had a dream, a very powerful one last night, and I know it wasn't a dream, but there was I was in a room with her, and 500 people were there. And I was in the back, and it was like she kept coming up to me, and I was silent, but I knew that there was a connection between Ion, and I was literally, like, telepathically telling her information, and she just kept looking at me. And I know I was going to ask Ion about it, but now I do know, because this is it. The Ion world is the key, and she knows that.
Yes. Yeah, that's everybody who's ever been in any cult or charismatic situation, once they encounter Ion, will have dreams and exercise in the mind to try to resolve of what they were impressed with what the new part is. I would say they were too visually biased, book-oriented, and you were kinetic. You had hyperkinetic thing, and so there was a weakness there that you knew, and now you have your weakness, and she starts to notice that your weakness is now... Well, your kineticism is fully developed, and she can't stop staring at it. And so that's a very important dynamic you just said there that happens to everybody. And I have no problem saying to Carol Mason, anybody, you know, what does Ion call six-pack Chopra? And these people, it's how they respond to Ion will determine whether they make it into the 21st century in a fun condition.
Ah, yes. Yes.
See, Shannon, our foster daughter, when Christine Nystrom or whatever it is became the holistic daughter model, holistic model for Oprah, Shannon says, and she knew Carol very
well. Christian Northrup.
Yeah, Christian Northrup. Shannon said years ago, you know, Carol, I saw Christian Northrup and she's being promoted by Oprah, and I always thought you'd be in that position, and sort of surprised that you aren't. And I don't know what Carol said. It's not important. The reason Carol never became that, because Carol is the last one that this 20th century has to offer. She's the last chance. What is it? The long ball, the Hail Mary ball that humans are throwing, and she does not need to be slotted into some success model from the 80s and 90s. So that Christiane took that, but Carol is the one, the last one, that really cleans the slate. So I hope I'll get a chance to spell out and answer to Shannon why Carol did not become the Oprah model. She had bigger agendas to happen, and now she's the one everybody has to react to, and she's actually talked about in the Bible and in the Sistine Chapel, and we know what Carol can do, what she can understand, and how she has changed and adapted to Ion, and no one else has even begun to adapt. That means she's the champion, and this is what Lynn and Lorraine understand.
Oh, yeah, and she'll be the best. Oh, God. What are you thinking, Bob?
Well, I was just thinking that I always put it, my chart meant that I'd be the last guy representing the male archetype who would be allowed to understand Carol and spew back to the dead men about what this new feminist energy, even though it's not cliche feminist energy, what Carol represents. I was the guy to translate it back to the 99 percenters, especially in the men world. So I always considered myself privileged to be allowed into the chamber of Carol and to also forever disturb it.
Yeah.
And that's what Hillary is. Hillary represents the Oprah, the Christine Mice. She's up on all that stuff. That's the language she speaks. And she came into the Carol's chamber and met the guard dog of Bob. And that's the dream you had of Christine, whatever, Carol Mice staring at you, the same thing with Hillary staring at me. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
She said no words, but I knew exactly what she was thinking. And I
Yes,
could feel that power.
What Ion says about the myth of Juno and Peacock. Juno was the goddess of the family. And so the Evergreen said this years ago, that Carolyn was Juno, and Bob was the peacock. What's the peacock do? It guards and protects with its 100 eyes on its feathers. It guards and protects Juno. And that's exactly what's been happening in the last 30, 40 years. Not that I'm a codependent on Carolyn or subservient, but the male archetype has to re-include the feminine energies, the feminine archetype, but in a new way, which William Irwin Thompson probably does the best in the New Age world trying to explain. Thompson says we now have 8 types of sexes right now. And the hetero model is only 1/8 or 1 subset. Anyways, all of that complexity is what Carolyn Mace and those types don't get because they're reacting and trying to preserve the old tribal.
Are you there?
Yes. Did you hear that?
No, it blipped out.
Right. I said Carolyn Mace and the Hillary Ramos and the rest of them, Jean Townsend, who's the fan? Jean Masters and Johnson. What is her name, Carolyn? Jean, the psychedelic explorer.
Don't know.
Yeah, anyways, the women, they are trying to preserve the old image, what McLuhan called the tribal icon of woman, and me, who has always claimed I'm a black woman, is the only way a man can confront the rearview mirror that women and ISIS are going through, because once Ra'i returned to ISIS, return to the plane of essence, and this is Cosmic Awareness Talk, ISIS was the woman archetype that was trying to get ISIS back to the plane of essence, and ISIS then is obsolesced once Rai returns to essence. She's obsolesced by her success, and the new dimension, which is not limited to any of these forms, is the new situation that Iondom is presenting. We are no longer human, in other words.
Outstanding statements, Bob. Very good statements.
Yeah.
Is somebody running water?
Oh. Yeah, Carolyn is, but you forgot to put it on. You know, Carolyn can't stay focused too long. She must be doing other stuff. She's cooking food and everything. Okay.
What is Kodachrome? Is that how I'm saying it? Kodachrome?
No, Kodachrome, the photography world.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I have it in my notes with a question mark. Okay, thanks.
So I'm going to go over and look at the scholars panel and just see what kind of responses are we getting. And here's Mark saying, I am soaking the dishes. Wish you could be here to eat on Turkey Day. And that's right when we caught Carolyn playing with the dishes. And I don't think he's responding to Carolyn doing the dishes. Maybe, because it's just there too fast. And then someone comes in, you think Art Bell, there's posting on there that keeps bouncing. You think Art Bell did the dishes while broadcasting? All right, there it is. He must be doing the dishes. So they thought I was doing the dishes. And then they go on, that was awesome, Bob. Deepak Chopra and Deep Throat Chopping Block. Yes, the Queen. Eckhart Tolle equals Eckhart Tolle Chamber. Dr. Dean is a champion. Then he has a hydrochloride. And then Mark D says, is lysine hydrochloride the same as betaine hydrochloride, Carolyn?
No.
All right. Why would they be the same? Different words. When ego, so do I. Grasshopper, stop creating yesterday. So they're translating. Immediate translation for the United Nations of the astral worlds. In other words, patterns of doctors, researchers, scientists, physicists are breaking everywhere if they allow it, says Gene. And on it goes. Oh, here's one. Bob, your first 4 ingredients is creating a Baghdad battery. That's the famous one that they discovered, 3,000 years ago, and they killed the guy who discovered it. They were media ecologists in the Luddite genre. Okay, are you, Greg? What do you say, Greg?
Well, I think the people who discovered the battery and applied it to the interiors of the Egyptian tombs, I'm quite surprised they never found anything in the tombs. As Ion said, there wasn't enough oxygen to support combustion for light, for something burning. I'm just surprised that, they didn't find lights strung up all over the place. But I guess we could put that to vandals or people who have taken that. But possibly
right.
they had another form of life, a light, that had nothing to do with the battery. You know, producing light from frequency, vibration. So that was kind of incomplete and might be worth going down the rabbit hole with ion on. That's what I
think. Yes, Insider Somerset says, yes, Trina, the 80s, they're celebrating the 80s and responding to me saying it was kind of a dull period. Not all of the music. He says, Scar, new romanticism, tail end of punk, mega and stadium stands continuing from the 70s, 60 revivals and top of the pops at its height. The 90s saw the factory style of music take over. It jumped again. Say that the 90s saw the factory style music take over. That did start in the 80s. Then Linus comes in and says, success, and it's a quote from somebody, success in a cool medium takes one of two forms. You are either a moment of supreme wit, popular but transitory, or you become part of the landscape. To become a feature of the landscape is very difficult in a cool medium. Your brand must always be present in the back of the user's mind. Everything they see, no matter how unrelated, should give them memories of you. So there's the ongoing translation of our pattern presentation. Look at the different unique...
Popular by transitory. I don't get that. Popular by transitory.
Well, you're popular but... No, but. Popular but transitory.
Thank you. Thank you. Got it. Very good. Okay.
So this is like someone said, who would, you know, would Art Bell be doing the dishes? We're getting these kind of reactions as we do our show here. These
very
kinds
good.
Of transplant, you know, this is not arguing over left, right, and those issues that normal political commentary is limited to. You got people being creative in their commentary and actually being ridiculous or speaking, and yet it's understandable among the group and stretching each other's boundaries conceptually.
I don't have a comment for that. I'm still processing it.
Right. We're stretching what we're talking about. In this case, the quotes that Ginny's saying. But meanwhile, there are responses to what we're doing, not in the terms we're using, but they're saying things maybe not related to us or related. Anyways, it's a very interesting operation that's going on. And now if I go to the mainstream, the in-quick messages, we have... Sue in Montreal says, hi, Bob. When Live Ion says, when he leaves, quote, we are incomplete. Now, this is a question everybody should have. Are they saying we are in the complete state, meaning in-complete, into complete, or are they saying that they are incomplete because we, the meat sacks, are not there with non-physical 100%, meaning that we are not being consciously physical slash non-physical in the complete way? Well, I read Krishnamurti say back in the 50s, maybe in his book, famous book, First and Last Freedom, that the truly religious person is incomplete. So I always took it as a positive or a important statement to be able to understand that. And I'm saying Ion is being in the Christian tradition, Krishnamurti tradition of celebrating being incomplete. That's how I take it. You guys got any responses?
No, I'm afraid not.
No, only Zion saying incomplete is they're incomplete. They're not done. They don't plan on being done.
Right.
They're
that's
not
right.
done.
Yeah, that's a simple way. And but I was open to it as soon as it was said, even if I didn't know that that's what Ion meant, because I like the way Krishnamurti said, truly religious person, spiritual person is incomplete. And that's to be remembered, and then you made it simple. You never get it done. That's one of the main aphorisms. And then Mark D. in Eagle says, Bob and Carolyn, I have not contributed much, busy creating. However, had fun, love you guys. Then Gene says, codes, create your own 64,000 codes with a free-form field for folks to babble all they want. Monitor the babble and add codes according to consistency of words and free-form text field. Define it and move on, collect it and count it. And then Bert says, Dr. Dean is the greatest doctor that will be. This has been a great week. Leon says, ha, 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 big laughter, and says, thank you, Ginny. I love you for that opening. I need a really good laugh. Then Cheryl says, hi, Bob, Carol, Ginny, Greg, et al. Checking in quickly, frustrated, have only been able to listen off and on these past few days. Bob, you sound incredible, flipping fucking unbelievable. You truly are an enigma. I did call in a couple of days ago, but had short window and you had guests. Guinness Book of Records? No, they are too formal and restricted. We'd have no fun if we had to put up with their conditions and judgment. Gene says, the network card had to be replaced with a perfect network care. Garan says, is Bob number 6 or Bob number 2?